Welcome to the In The Tank podcast. Get ready for an hour of hot 40K goodness coming in your ears. You're in the tank now, baby.
We're live.
We are indeed live. Hello there, everybody. Welcome to episode 5 of In The Tank.
Yeah, ignore the fact that I'm sort of subtly trying not to look at my phone to get up the topics that I should have had up before the last day started.
Literally 5 seconds before, I'm like, you okay with the topics, bro?
I've got them up now.
Also, it is such a hot day today that we're recording this. Eddie's been mean and made me turn off my fan that you can potentially see in the background for a decent audio, which is fine. I will take the hit for all you beautiful.
I've got my window closed and no fan either, and I am sweating my dick off too. So, you know, welcome, we're in this together, UK. Russ.
Apparently so.
We're in it together.
Apparently so. How you been, man? You been okay?
Yeah, good. Yeah, I've been really excited because we are attending a doubles event later this year in November together.
Yes,
in the tank 40K, and we are going to be playing some pretty spicy stuff. I think we've got you on your Deathwing and me finally a plan generations in the making is to get my GSC going.
I'm so excited for you because it's best a smaller size ever, right? Game. You can it gives you a good target to get everything painted by as well.
Yeah, exactly. It's because we're only doing 1500 points. Like per side, so it's 750 each, which is perfect for a starting.
I've figured out our team name. We should be the Work Wives.
The Work Wives, I like that.
The Work Wives. So Deathwing cross Gene Sealer cults, and I'm going for a Deathwingy, Alpha Strikey style, very mean, 10 assault Terminators on turn one style list.
It's a tale as old as time, isn't it? The old marriage of Deathwing and Gene Stealers.
Ironically, in the modern era, that's how the old Deathwing had their coloration of cream. So, you know,
You would know a lot about the color of cream, wouldn't you, Russ?
Because as a viewer commented of the comment of drinking in my morning Morgas bone and shitting out Terminators. So on that note, what are you working on in terms of your projects, buddy?
I have, as I said, got the GSC out, and we have on my desk right next to me basically almost the whole 750 points already built. I've only got the Benefictus, which is the new Gene Stealer character to build, and 9 Neophytes now. So I'm almost there, which would be good.
You're bringing the numbers, the meat shield.
I've got loads of just crap, little scrittily bellends to just jump out the shadows and go back away.
Scrittily bellends! Fantastic. That sounds great. I'm basically playing Custodes because my essential list is basically 15 Terminators and a scouts. So that'd be fun.
Perfect. Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
It's going to be good.
So I'm going to be literally using you as a meat shield. So on my hobby desk, it's very similar. Like I'm Deathwinging it now.
Yeah.
So I had 6 assault Terminators built. I'm going to finish painting them by the end of probably before I go away on holiday because I'm going to Scotland soon, which will be quite cool. And then I'm building 4 more to round that to a unit of 10 assault Terminators using the new bodies and some custom bodies with some candles and stuff on them and some armors. I'll post when they're done, I'll post a photo to our Instagram.
Please do.
And they all look cool, and that'll be like the heart of a lot of my competitive lifts going forward. Actually, I'm rocking the assault Terminators all of a sudden, which is quite cool because they're just dirt cheap. Plonking 40 wounds on your opponent's doorstep is just mean.
Turn one. That is rude,
isn't it? I'm starting to like tweet
knock knock
that
motherfucker.
Well, funny enough, on that note, I have been playing 10th edition wrong, apparently, since the beginning of 10th edition. Yeah. So I sent a message to you going, what the fuck? I can have 1,000 points in Deep Strike.
And like, because you thought it was only 500. And I was like,
dude, I am not the only one. So I recently posted on some various Dark Angels groups to try and like talk about this. And same for anyone listening to this as well at home. And everyone's telling me otherwise. They're like, no, it's 500 points. And I'm like, I thought that too, but it isn't.
Yeah.
It's 500 points of strategic reserves.
Yeah.
Up to half of your army can be in D deep strike
reserves
and slash or strategic reserves, right?
So it's strategic reserves versus reserves, and that's the clarification.
Yeah, nice, so you can have like
distinguished.
So yeah, exactly. Fucking 10th edition, fuck off, please. Like, Jesus Christ. So just as a thing at home, you can have 500 points in strategic reserves, 500 points in deep strike, 1,000 points in deep strike, or any combination thereof, or just strategic reserves.
As long
reserves.
As you don't go up to above 500 points in strategic reserves.
Oh, 1,000 points there in deep strike.
Yeah, there are other ways to get around this as well. So, for example, my Gene Stealer Colts have got an ability on the Primus that lets me just bang up three units in reserves, regardless of how many points I've got in. I think on the Necrons as well with one of the things. So.
And, of course, Grey Knight's picking stuff up.
Mm-hmm. You know, any I think once the game starts, you can get as much as you like up there, basically, if you know what I mean.
Grey Knights do.
In the sky. In the sky. Yeah.
Why do you think the Emperor's been sat on the Golden Throne for so long, eh?
It's in on something.
That's terrible. Really. Have I just made an Emperor sodomy joke in like the first 10 minutes of this bloody video? What the fuck?
Okay. But because I support the four-armed Emperor now, so I don't mind.
The great four-armed Emperor. That's cool. Yeah, well, baby. Yeah. I mean, you fucking heretic. It's all fine.
It's fine.
So we also have some exciting news to discuss. Fucking Blood Angels.
Oh, mate. God.
Yeah, whoa. They look sexy, I was not they? Expecting that because, of course, we had Imperial Agents. Imperial Agents haven't even come out yet. And we had the preview for Blood Angels. Old Chapter Master Valrak was right again. Bless him with his spoilers. Yeah. Like, he's like our like little canary down the well in terms of like
what the hell's
coming, apparently. So, yeah, what do we think of those? And I think we've got more to come. My theory is we've got a new Sanguinor probably coming, and we've got Sanguinary Guard coming. Sanguinary Guard, I reckon, are coming.
Sanguinor is, like, in terms of his rules, I think is one of the coolest models in the game currently. Like, you get involved, and then he just comes down, and he's like, hang on a minute, I'm just going to fuck you up real quick.
Well, lore-wise, he's awesome as well, but I'm hoping that he looks quite sanguineous-y.
Yeah.
Like a ghost essence of sanguineous
That'd
vibes,
be cool.
right?
Yeah.
That'd be
and Sanguinary Guard are like the oldest models ever, and they're so good in the game. Well, I mean, their points are a bit, but, you know, they're cool. They have a place to, you know, a reason to be in your list, right? So I think they really need a new kit. For sure.
It seems like in the same way that Dark Angels obviously have the Ravenwing Terminator thing going on, mm-hmm. Dark Angels are like loving jump pack stuff, right? Like whenever, like Sanguinary Guards have jump packs, Death Company tend to have jump packs 9 times out of 10, right? But the contents of that Death Company box looks so nice because you've got like looks like 20 Death Company Marines, 10 flying, 10 on foot. You've got like the updated version of what the Death Company dread, which is the Redemptor sashi with the claws.
Yeah, it's the, what's it called? The Brutalis, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, but it might have new updated rules, right? Like, it might have, like, the Death Company.
Possibly. I feel like it's just going to be a Brutalis. Because if it's a Death Company one, then maybe
it's
there's, like, a Death Company Brutalis.
Death Company schemes. And with Death Company upgrade elements
that
on
would,
it.
That would be really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, because they're getting I reckon they're probably going to cycle out the old Death Company dread.
Yeah, that's probably what's going to happen.
So I reckon they're going to just replace it with the Brutalis one, but give it some like Death Company rules, I guess. And then you've got the two new characters, which is Astaroth and Vajmouth Lemertes.
Yeah, Wulgag Lemertes.
Oh, is it a ball
gag? He's got a ball gag.
It was a Vajmouth Lemertes. I thought it was a little clip in there.
Yeah. It looks kind of
Well, see, my imagination went wild there. Never mind.
Yeah.
Ball gag Lemertes.
Astaroth, right?
To be honest, though, I like Astaroth. I think he looks a lot like his old model, pretty much.
He does. They've kept it super
true
to the original.
Which is not a problem, because he looks great. I quite like Lemertes. I think Lemertes is fucking awesome because he's on that like.
Yeah, he looks
ruin.
Like he's about he's, to like, smash someone up, right?
Oh man,
he's unhinged.
Yeah. Needless to say, my wife plays Blood Angels and she's like, "We're getting this box," and I'm like, "Fair, that's totally fair."
Yeah. So I've just got to interrupt quickly and go slightly off tangent.
Yeah.
Somebody commented on one of our Instagram pictures.
Oh, no!
About a word that you can't say.
Oh, God damn. So I've already said try and give us an example? Wrong.
Yeah, you already said chassis wrong.
I'm not going to. Can you remember what the word is? Because I've completely forgotten what the word is.
No, I'll have to look it up if I'm going to. So hang on, give me a sec. I'll do that while you carry on chatting.
So, it's just, I think we're going to have some fun with that because I'm probably going to do some doubles with my wife. So we'll have an Angels of Death style list. So it'll be Terminators and the old Black Rage.
I'm well into it.
Blood Angels. Have you got it yet?
I can't find the comment now.
Ah, no. See? Well, there we go. We won't comment on it today.
Damn it.
Sucks to be you. I know what it is.
Yeah, you do, don't you? You're holding out on me.
No, I am holding out on you because until you actually formally tie me down, I'm not going to.
All right, I'll try and find that one for next week.
Fine.
Yeah, so.
Fine. Well, that's fine. The Blood Angels box
is cool. Yeah.
We love it. We love it. Very cool.
We love it, yeah.
So it's going to be cool to see some new Sanguinary Guard as well because I imagine they're.
Yeah, they really need a new kit. Like, they're old AF.
And they're iconic. Iconic.
Iconic, yeah. They are iconic.
In general, so that's quite cool. So...
Yeah, excuse our dry throats, by the way, this week. We're both recovering from horrible, grotty toddler colds that we've had.
Dude, anyone that's a parent will understand, oh my God, I had no idea that I would have every bug going forever.
Oh, mate.
What the fuck? It's like a relentless writ store of bugs that happen,
right? It is,
yeah. It's just terrible.
Yeah,
it's so awful. We're just dying from Nurgle's plague. It's not cool.
So, have you got a wet blend for me? And how creamy is it?
Tasty wet blend. It's a very creamy wet blend, although controversial wet blend.
Yeah.
So, in the advent of what I refer to as the internet age, we have a 3D printing revolution potentially upon us.
We do.
How is that going to affect the hobby, man? Because I remember, like, you know, 3D printing's not a new concept. Like, I kind of remember 3D printing being around, like, 6-7 years ago, maybe more.
Yeah.
And, like, when 3D printing first happened, it was terrible. I'll be readily honest. Like, you know, of course, one of the first things that is ever done is, like, Warhammer models, because why wouldn't it be?
Of course, yeah.
And they look shit. They look fucking horrible. Like, they were just monoposey.
And also, like, the lines as well were just
really bad. Really brittle. Like, you'd snap everything all the time.
Yeah.
But it seems like now 3D printing is getting kind of to the point where Games Workshop are going to have to address it. Because it seems like they're doing an ostrich thing of, like, sticking their head in the ground and going, la, 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 la.
Yeah, pretending it doesn't exist, aren't they? Yeah.
And the whole business model is based off luxury plastic.
Yeah.
And, you know...
And all they keep doing is putting their own prices up, right? Which just gives people more and more of an incentive to 3D print.
And also, not producing enough stuff that we then have to look at, you know, weapon options or... Like, with my Assault Terminators is a great example, right? Because they haven't updated the Assault Terminator kit. And I had some Terminator bodies left over from my Deathwing Assault, from hoarding 2 Deathwing Assault box, like a fucking greedy goblin that I am. I wanted to up my unit of Assault Terminators. I needed a bigger Thunder Hammer. So I used Deathwing Knight shields, but I needed a upscale Thunder Hammer. Of course, they didn't release the Assault Terminators at the same time as them releasing the new updated Terminator box. So I would find some really good 3D printed Achilles Forge, like, Thunder Hammers for, like, nothing. For, like, you know, like, 5 for 6 or something. Perfect. Glue those on. They look great. They're strong. They look fucking awesome. No mold lines. Take paint really well. And that's because G-Dubs, you know, no shade, have been lazy and not done that at the same time. And it's just like, you know, sorry, but, like, your product does not exist and the unit still exists in the codex. Like,
I think that they are doing something to combat this somewhat, by the way, because if you look, traditionally, you do have some units which had weapon options that they just literally couldn't take if they were just using the stuff from the box. I think, like, Inferno pistols or something like that was one of them, because people are always printing those, or, like, the melter pistols.
Well, the big one was Tau battle suits as well. Tau battle suits having the million options, right?
But then what they've now done is they've
rakers and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Now they've just changed the rules to fit the kits. So you literally cannot take anything outside of what you've got in the box. They've even done this with GSC, because you used to be able to take like 4 mining lasers. Now you have to take 2 mining lasers and 2 something else like seismic cannons, because those are what you get in the box. So I think that is a good way of dealing with it, because it, you know, cuts it out for the future. But should they, I guess, you know, should they not just do what they used to do, where they offered other kits where you could buy more weapon options? Because I'm pretty sure ages ago they had like extra stuff you could buy, right?
See, I'm going to be quite antagonistic, and don't get me wrong, like, I have no shade with GW. I'm not a GW hater by any stretch of the imagination. Love the products, love everything that they do. You know, some of their business practices are a bit shady, but like, I was not a fan of what is happening with kits now, where it's literally you can equip as you can in kits, because the modularization, especially of Space Marines, is one of the best elements of Space Marines.
Yeah.
The fact that so many kits interact with each other in such cool ways that you can customize your units in such cool ways. And the battlesuit thing I thought was fucking stupid. Like, and really fucked over a lot of people that didn't magnetize weapon options.
Oh, yeah.
Hardcore, which, you know, for a new player is kind of a hardcore thing to do.
Like, yeah, it's bad it enough is. To, if like, you've make just got into models. This game, right, and you buy a load of tiled battle suits, and then you think, I'll just build them with the coolest loadout or the whatever it is, you're going to be looking back going, why didn't I magnetize? And then you're either in the position of having to, like, cut arms off of models that you've already painted and then magnetize them after the fact, which is just a nightmare and no one wants to do. Or you're just having to buy more models. And at that point, you probably are 3D printing. Awful. So, yeah.
Well, yeah. And it's like, and you know, this is only something that GW can ignore for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, when the quality gets really good, and then what are their options? Right? Like, what are you going to do? Are you going to sell STLs officially as GW STLs? Right? And so that people can print official molds. What are you going to do? Like,
I mean, that,
you
know, could be like, a way around
what are
you
it. Offer people, right?
Or 3D print then, them yourself.
You know, that's gonna, but then that's going to undercut their like regular sales of miniatures as well, right? Because I don't think
I think if you do things like here's a banging one. Now I know that Death Watch are probably about to become a bit more irrelevant, but like, imagine if you're a Death Watch collector, right, and you have. You want all of the shoulder pads on all your Death Watch guys. And like, you've got Gravis guys wearing shoulder pads, and you've got like, you know, all of this sort of stuff. Like, those shoulder pads, if you buy a little, you know, extra sort of box of bits for the shoulder pads, et cetera, et cetera, those only come with like 2 shoulder pads or something for the Gravis or Terminators. Yeah. And they come with like 8
you
or 10
buy
of the
like
other ones.
Fucking loads of those.
Mate. And they're like 15, 17 quid or something a box. So imagine how many you're going to need if you're doing a big army of Death Watch. And this is the sort of thing where you turn around and you go, I'm going to 3D print them. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. And especially not in the fact that, like, with Death Watch especially, the other half of the shoulder pad you'd want as well. And the fun of doing a Death Watch army, in my opinion, I've never done one, but from what I can ascertain, the fun bit is having loads of different chapters represented in your army and having their original shoulder pads on the other pauldron.
Yeah, which you can get some
of. What are you going to do? Buy like, but what are you going to do? Like, buy one whole set of every fucking chapter and then not have some of the more obscure chapters that are iconic.
Here's the other issue with that. Having done some Death Watch in the past, a lot of the ones that you would buy, the shoulder pads, are designed to go on the left shoulder, not the right.
Yeah.
And obviously the Death Watch ones need to go on the right, not the left. So some of them have got like the it's backwards. Do you see what I mean? So it doesn't matter if it's like Templar,
so
it's because
stupid.
It's just a mirrored image. But like if it's something like Howling Griffins or something, you know, it's all facing the wrong way. So you gotta think about that. Mm-hmm. So 3D printing. I think that they should go back to the days of making extra kits, whether or not they 3D print them or whether they do them with plastic or whatever it is. But I think they should go back to the days of selling extra stuff in kits, because and then maybe lean away from this change that they've made. I don't know. It's difficult, but I don't think they will.
Do you know what they need to do is stop being hostile?
They're hostile to consumers, right?
Yeah. The thing is, right, you sometimes need to buy the original kit to customize stuff anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like with the example of my Thunder Hammers that I gave, right?
Yeah.
I still bought the Terminators in the first place. I just added those Thunder Hammers on later.
Yeah.
Same with what happened with battlesuits and stuff like that. You still bought the fucking battlesuit, which was like the vast majority of the cost of that mini. You just so happen to also buy some 3D printed or make some 3D printed components, right?
Yeah.
But the policy that they have, especially in regards to like Warhammer World, an official like 40K / Sigma / fantasy events, is that you cannot use any 3D printed component on a model for an event that they run, right? So if I was to rock up at Warhammer World with my Terminators, they are fully in their right to go, we don't want that unit on the table. You lose 200, 300 points of your army. And I feel bad for me. And I go, actually, that's a bit shit. I bought those Terminators. I know that technically I'm advertising for something else. But unless you know what where I got that component from in the first place, it's not like I'm essentially giving free advertising. Does that make sense? Like that finickety anti-consumer approach to that is 8 years behind where it needs to be.
No,
if I was a guard player, and I wanted to do like a modern Catachan or even a Tanith army and get like third party components, again, I'm buying Cadians and then tripping them out with extra components. I've bought like fucking 300 Cadians or whatever, and you're going to turn around and go, actually, take those off the board, please, because they're not official products. I'd be like, get fucked.
I do think they're a bit strict.
Give me the fucking option. Give me the fucking kit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. If I turned up at Warhammer World with an entirely 3D printed army of demons, for example, there were none of them with a kit, I can understand them turning around and being like, that's not something we make here on your bike.
Yeah.
But if I had like a 3D printed little shield because I couldn't get one, for example, for like, you know, my Death Watch guy, then, and they turned around and went, sorry, you can't use him. I mean, first of all, I think that's bullshit. Like, we should be more like the Americans. They'll let you run anything, even fully 3D printed models, so long as they're not completely wildly inaccurate in terms of size and stuff, and they're on the right bases. But like, I think that is a bit tight, to be honest with you. And I think that I personally don't like that stance, you know, from my
I guess give an inch and a consumer will take a yard. And as much as like,
probably.
I kind of understand that they do that as a way of stopping a dickhead coming in with a completely 3D printed army and then being like, well, you set in the rules. It said that you can use 3D printed
components. Rules is written.
A component is a miniature, right?
Yeah.
And like, where do you draw the line? Right, do you go,
50%
of your miniature has to 50% of your miniature has to be an official GW miniature. That being said, I think that it should be at the discretion of like the person involved in it, if that makes sense. And like, you know, the TO or something going like, well, obviously this is a completely 3D printed miniature on your bike, or actually this is just a tiny component of it.
There is a little leap, by the way.
Yeah, go on.
But I think if you make the bit yourself, they're okay with it. So if you just say, I handcrafted that actually out of green stuff and I'm just amazing at sculpting, then you can be like, so, you know, jog on.
But if they've got loads of stuff, it
gets a bit hard to pull that one.
But it shouldn't be that anti-consumer. And the thing is, like, you know, every event I've ever gone to that is not a GW event, don't give a shit. They don't give a shit.
No, I've never been to an event that's ever given a shit.
You know, like, and that's fine, and I love that, right? Like, I think that's fantastic. But I think GW really need to sit down and work out what policy is going to be in regards to this going forward, because, like any big industries just don't deal with something until it is literally on their doorstep, and then they're fucked. Same thing happened with the music industry, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we should probably have a discussion about TTS as well in the same light at some point down the line, because I think this is very similar to 3D printing, and they must have a stance, even if it's not a public one, they must have a stance on both of these things that we just don't know about, right? They're obviously thinking about it. They must be must be talking about it at shareholder meetings, thinking, you know. But actually, to be honest with you, I don't think they've done anything in a lot of these cases is because, sure, it's going to take some people out from buying products of theirs, whether it's 3D printing or using TTS. But a lot of the time, these are probably people that would never have bought them in the first place. So I don't think they're really losing that much money.
Yeah, but, you know, but the problem is going to be when 3D printing becomes far less expensive and far more common.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. There's going to be a tipping point, right?
Yeah, when your average household in the next decade can have it as an additional thing in their home.
Like, I already know a handful of my mates in the 40K community who have multiple 3D printers or have a 3D printer.
Me too. I feel like a dinosaur because I don't. Yeah, no, I feel like a dinosaur because I don't.
They are expensive. And like, but, you know,
the
cost of them will slowly come down as well. So,
well, this is it, right? Where the reason why it's not a complete pandemic of concept is that not everyone has one, right? Like, you know, it's your friend or, you know, like someone in your community that has one that might print out stuff for your community or whatever. But when it's, you know, 2 out of 3 Warhammer players or whatever, then, you know, then we're on the verges. Yeah. I mean, I saw this wicked Death Guard 3D printing army that was a third party army, which you can get either as a physical or an SDL.
I think I know
and it's
the one.
Death Guard underwater. It's like,
yes, I know the one. It's
BioShock
so cool.
stuff. Oh my God. I think it's called something like the Deep or something, although that's very Boise, but it's like, but the Sunken or something. And they're like Death Guard with that look like old school style divers and stuff. And I'm like,
God. That sort of stuff I'm well into.
And I want a unit of those in my army.
Oh mate, they look so cool. Yeah. No, I'm into it.
And like, you know, and that's it. And it's so imaginative. And maybe if the people that would do that paid a little bit in IP costs to GW. Like work with your community, not against your community.
They're gonna have to get to a point where they have to do something about it, right? So we'll see. Yeah. We'll see what they'll either hot ban it and probably put a stamp down, crackdown or whatever. Operation Crackdown, Crackhead.
Crackdown. And then inevitably what will happen is the community will push back and it'll be this like style culture war. And, you know, and GW will fuck themselves because they didn't look at doing it sooner rather than later.
At the end of the day, it's going to be about what the events take on as the rule, really. Because at the minute, I think that we've got a pretty loose stance for the most part. Yeah. Like, obviously, it kind of needs to be in the same ballpark size, etc. But I don't think people are that bothered generally. So we'll see where it goes.
And very quickly, see, I haven't yet, so fuck you.
It's because I've changed my setup slightly from last week, because when I was trying to do the video for last week, this pop filter that you can see was basically, I was occluded entirely by it, if you are watching.
There you go, see.
And not live,
obscured. Us, at least. Behind line of sight, blocking pop shield.
Exactly, yes.
But very quickly, just to finish off the point concerning 3D printing, I also completely understand if you 3D print if you're in Australia or New Zealand.
Oh, because, my God, man.
Look being
so
serious
expensive
now,
out there.
Being serious now, this is already an expensive hobby in a cost of living crisis, especially in the UK, but we justify it because it's our special place, right? We love it, and I do the same, right? You budget, you know, you buy what you can afford, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
If I was in Australia, fucking hell, for those that don't know, the Australian economic prices, by the time it goes through customs and almost comes out at 2/3 or twice as much, even after, to the point where Australian armies are kind of metered based on the cost of their army. So they hardly ever contain a Forge World unit. They hardly ever contain a lot of Guard or Horde style armies.
It's interesting, isn't it?
So you're completely, so culturally you're completely restricted by what you can afford, which is fucking mind blowing. So it's
by
not
that logic as well, they should have
play.
Suffered less with the whole Legends being removed. You know, a lot of Forge World stuff disappearing.
Well,
and stuff.
Yeah. But, so you know, if I was in Australia, 3D print. To your heart's content, guys, because this. Like, GW need to build international sort of places where they can make their models. You know, if you're that far behind, you don't even have places that build your models outside the UK. And I get it. It's nice to be patriotic and have something that's entirely made and built in the UK. Get it sorted. Get international building places, or relax your stand on 3D printing stuff. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Like,
so now that we're about midway through the episode, although it doesn't feel like we should be, how warm are you?
I'm absolutely roasting.
Yeah, you got a little bead of sweat on your forehead. Yeah,
it's all good. It's all good. It's almost like I'm in Nevada, in Las Vegas, just rocking around. Water. It's all good.
Water.
So that's fine. It's fine. Yeah. So we've covered the 3D printing revolution.
We have. So
we're going to the opposite end of that. So we're kind of like cheapening stuff via the 3D revolution. Now we're talking about the golden fleece, is the more expensive end. Like, what are... So to explain what a golden fleece is, it's like you would love to obtain but can't, because you want to have domestic harmony with your partner, or, you know, and not splurge £1,000 on a hunk of miniature, right? What are your golden fleeces, Ed? What if money was no object and you could have something awesome that's very collectible, what would it be?
Well, I'll go for my first choice, which is there was a Japanese release of a plague caster for Death Guard with an alternate sculpt. Oh, you bastard.
I have it.
I've got a 3D printed version, but I don't have the real one.
So I would love it because I knew it was going to be.
Yeah, I'd love a real one of those because they're so expensive. They go for like £60 on eBay or something stupid. I can't warrant spending that much on one little guy, but I love the sculpt. Super cool. But yeah, that's one of mine for sure.
That is a great sculpt because it looks totally different to like the one that already... It's a plague caster, isn't it? Right?
It's a plague caster.
And above him, he's got like his staff, because I've painted this model, so I got quite intimate with it. And he's got his staff, and it shows the life cycle of a fly through the so warp energy above it. So it goes from like larvae to small fly to big fucking nurgly fly. And he's like, yes, life cycle of a fly. I bought that. That was originally inside a Japanese paint set that I bought on eBay for £50 with the paints.
Oh, you got the paints as well. Anyway, that makes it a little bit
more. Which were all Death Guard paints. So it was like 12 paints in with it, like of classic stuff, including Balthazar.
Yeah, he's a proper beauty, that sculpt. I love it. So I probably just use the one I've got, 3D printed one, talking about 3D printing.
Yeah.
But,
fair. Yeah, very, very, very fair.
What about you? Fleece me.
So my first golden fleece, as previously mentioned, is a Mastodon.
Oh, yeah.
I want a Forge World Mastodon so badly. I won't go into too much detail about this because I spoke about it in the previous pod, or the pod before that, I can't remember. But essentially, I would love a Mastodon, but they're £410 in pure resin, and fuck that shit.
Also, the problem is, are they legends already? Are they legends already? Yeah. That's the
issue. Use it in my 30k Dark Angels army, or something narrative. Yeah.
Because I have a similar thing for my Necrons, which is the Seraptek heavy construct, which is ridiculously obscenely expensive, and that would be really...
Is that
cool
that like gribbly
it's a big spider looking thing? No, those are the little centipede guys are cool. I've got one of those somewhere, but it's massive. It's like it's not the Mighty Yang, but it's like, you know, proper huge great thing. With like big legs at the front. It looks a bit like a scaled up version of the Triarch Stalker, but there's not a guy.
I've seen it.
It's just...
I've seen it.
You know the one?
I've seen that. That's cool.
It's massive.
Yeah, I've seen
it. Yeah, and it's got these two absolute shagger cannons underneath that would just rip you to bits. So that would be cool.
Shagger cannons.
Shagger cannons, yeah. There's a really cool moment where one of those turns up in one of the books, by the way. And it is...
Oh, really?
I think it's got like bodies all like attached to it, like on spikes and stuff, and it's just walking around like sloughing off dead bodies, and all these blade ones are just picking
them
up, following it round. Yeah, it's gruesome. It's awesome.
Amazing.
Proper
that's
cool.
Very cool.
Yeah. So that's probably mine.
Okay, I've just to hop back to me. I've chosen a model piece, a terrain piece, and a book.
Okay.
So my terrain piece is, and I didn't realise that these had become mega collectible, and I'm gutted because I really wanted to pick one up when I could, but they're just not available anymore, which is the Battle Sanctum, which is the Adeptus Sororitas signature terrain piece, which is essentially a massive fuck-off statue of Celestine around what is pieces of like a chapel. And it's stunning. Absolutely stunning piece of terrain. Love it. But it's uber collectible now. It's not been in print. And because like the Battle Sanctum's not in the Codex anymore, it's not made and it's dropped. And basically it's like 300 quid on eBay.
Yeah. It's the same. I think my version of this would be the Fortress of Redemption. It's the same thing. It's ridiculous. Oh,
that's the Dark Angels one.
Yeah.
That's the Dark. Sorry, I'm just dying. That's the Dark Angels one, isn't it? Like that massive, massive, with a watcher on it.
I think so. Something like that. But that is.
Yeah, it's got like a hooded. It's got like a hooded thing. Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Do you have any other
some bits like that you just can't get? That are really annoying, because it would be lovely if they still made them, because although they'd still be obscenely expensive even if GW made them, but buying them on eBay,
they should do a made to order
thing for terrain not that long ago for some of it, but it wasn't any of the bits I really wanted, so shame.
There you go. See,
so what
do you have any
one?
Other golden Do you have any other golden fleeces to finish? Or
not really. I don't collect the books like you do. I do have some of the books, but I've only got one of them that's like a signed one. So I'm not a big book collector, mainly just because I either listen to them on Audible or have them on like, you know, Kindle or something like that, which is a bit lame, but you know.
Nah. You need to get the limited edition the Necron books. The limited editions are stunning.
There we go.
Sorry, I'm dying.
That's all right.
But no, I have one. Well, I've been fortunate enough to get the End and the Death volumes 1, 2, and 3 as limited edition, which is gnarly. I would love to get the entire Siege of Terror limited edition, but the one golden fleece that I have that's a book is the Legacy of Caliban limited edition collection, which is those three limited edition Dark Angels books that are stunning in like a big old block. And they go on eBay for like 500, 600 quid. And I want one so bad because I have all of the Dark Angels novels and pretty much all of them are limited edition, actually, including like The Lion, Son of the Forest I have in limited edition. I have Azrael in limited edition. I have Luther in limited edition. I have Cypher in limited edition. So,
what we're saying is you're a book nerd. Component. Yeah.
We are, in our family, we are Black Library limited edition collecting family.
Yeah, it's cool though.
But it is cool. They're stunning, mate. They are so nice. They are the best hardcover books ever. Not even just for Warhammer books, like ever. They make the most stunning books. I don't know who they have in their team that makes them. And they're stunningly beautiful. Like, seriously. Like, they're like Folio Society levels of, like, quality.
Yeah. We've got some Folio stuff. They are really cool. Very pretty books.
Yeah, me too. Love that. I love books in general. I always love having a good bookshelf.
Yeah. Likewise.
I think it's the way forward. All right. Way forward.
I probably don't have any more Great White Whales. I think that's probably it for me, to be honest with you. Although there is a model.
Ah, the White Whale.
It's just super expensive, which is a Tesseract vault. But, you know, we'll get one eventually.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Is that the big fucking. Oh,
with the Catan in the middle of it.
So cool. Do they still have a shitty flying base to put them on?
Yep. Yeah. Which is great for the new.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. Oh wow, amazing. That fucking thing is gonna snap.
I think it is on. I don't know. It can't be on a regular flying base, surely. I think it might be on one of the plain ones or something. Bro. It can't be on a regular one. Who knows? But
either way, that has the Catan inside of it, right?
Yeah, he's like in the middle, sort of like going Super Saiyan. It's pretty cool.
What a cool, they're really good at the what a cool well. Silly model. Yeah, I've heard this. What a silly model. What a silly model, but it is very cool.
Yeah. Very
is that
silly.
The same model for like the Catan in it as well? Like the
Yes, and so I have a 3D printed version of that Catan again, because I'm not gonna buy a whole Tesseract vault and build it as an obelisk.
Again.
The worst unit in the Necrons Codex. Bugger that. I'd build it as a Tesseract vault. So yeah, I do have a 3D printed one, which is cool. But it breaks a bit easily, which is a
shame.
There
we go. There we go. Yeah. No one will ever No one will ever know.
It's fine. Exactly.
No one will ever know.
Love it.
So cool. So apart from lusting over things that we can't afford, dude, the Warhammer community is vast. The Warhammer community is awesome. What has been, over the years, some of your favourite or inspiring moments from the Warhammer community or, you know, content creators or whatever? Like, do you have any highlights from the community over the years that you're like, that you see, really touched me or that was, like, really cool?
Yeah, I'm, as you probably know, I'm a bit of an audio-visual nerd. Like, I like all my mics and my you know, cameras and all that sort of stuff. So there was, I'm gonna need to find what this thing was, what it was called and who it was done by. I think it was done in conjunction with the guys from Mini Wargaming, Dave and all that sort of stuff. But basically what they did is they got a camera on a robotic arm with a probe lens, which allows you to, it's like a thin long lens that allows you to get real up close to stuff and looks super cool. And what they did is they basically got an entirely amazing like sequence shot where this robotic arm was just programmed to like run around on this battlefield, get really up close, going through all these sort of necromancer style little alleyways and stuff. And it is just one of the coolest 40K models videos I've ever seen. And I would love to have a probe lens, but they are ridiculously expensive. I'll try and find it.
Yeah. Was it just a massive step up in terms of like tech and stuff for you?
Yeah, it's like really cool.
A cornerstone
moment. We'll get a link of the video somewhere, you guys can have a look at it too. But it's super duper cool. That is. So that's one of my coolest things to come out of the hobby recently, at least. What about yourself?
Nice. I will be gooey and nod to a content creator which really inspired me, both in terms of like a do-it-yourself, almost punk attitude, and also to be authentically me in terms of like my army lists and stuff like that, which sounds really like unnecessarily gooey, but it's where it is. And it was a content creator called Winters SEO. I don't know if you know about
Winters. Yeah, I know Winters. I've done an episode of Liam's show with Winters before, so I've met him.
Get the fuck out.
He's a good lad.
Now, one of my hobby goals is to meet Winters.
Yeah.
And if Winters is listening right now, I'm a massive fan of your work and I think you're a top look. But for two reasons. Number one, I loved how when I first started getting back into the hobby, there were like two YouTube channels. One was, of course, Tabletop Tactics, which I really involved watching. And obviously for a different reason, because it was very flash and very like, you know, like, here's the battle between this, blah, 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 blah. I loved how grassroots and quite English, and I hate to use the word, but twee Winters, like, battle reports were. And how ghetto they were. Because, you know, he was with his cap, but he would, like, film it, what looked like on a camera or, like, his phone. 15-year-old
mobile phone.
And, like, zooming in. Yeah, and just how cool that was that he had an audience that loved it because of how grassroots it was and like how cool his battle reports were, and he was funny and just really sweet, and just I really appreciated that, and it kind of made me that anyone could kind of have a go at content creating in a way and like give it a stab and just do it based on the strength of your personality. And another thing that made me really gooey about Winters was I was following a lot of content creators when there was this really awesome event. I think it was just after or during lockdown, where it was a Gibraltar 40K event in 9th.
Yeah.
Where it was like a big community.
I think I know the one you mean. It was, I think I know a couple of people that went to it, because it was all content creators, right, that went?
Right, yes. So Lawrence from Tabletop Tactics went. Mikey from Hellstorm Wargaming went.
Yeah.
I think
Liam
might
have gone.
Right. Liam did go.
Steve Box might have gone. There's a few others.
It was a huge event. A lot of very competitive players and really nice players went. And people were kind of going that, people were kind of guessing that either Lawrence would win with Drakari, because Drakari were busted at the time and really good.
Yeah.
Or Mikey from Hellstorm Wargaming would win, because Mikey always wins events with Space Marines, because he's amazing at spurring Space Marines. And Winters went as kind of like a community member representing, and like, and you know, with the nicest way saying, I don't think necessarily anyone really expected Winters to bring the thunder, right?
Yeah.
But Winters appeared to that event. I don't know if you remember what he played. Do you remember what he played?
Deathwing.
He Wasn't played it? Deathwing.
Yeah.
So Winters showed up. Winters showed up to that event with a Deathwing army, which at the time was kind of strong, kind of middle tier.
Yeah, they were decent. Really.
And played just 100% Deathwing. He just ran 3 units of 10 Deathwing Terminators, 2 units of Blade Guards, and a character, like a chaplain, and an apothecary, because you could raise stuff. And with no disrespect, no one expected Winters to play that list. They were expecting him to play, like, Death Guard or the 13th, which was his own custom Space Marine chapter.
Yeah.
And he showed up with this Deathwing list completely out the... No one expected it. Painted by Den of Imagination in this awesome green colour scheme. Like black with like green edges, which looked fucking awesome on camera. It looked stunning, right? And Winters proceeded to fucking wreck the event. Like, win the entire event. And, like, everyone was like, what the fuck? Like... And he beat Lawrence, he beat Drakkari, and it basically came to, like, who could roll fours. So, like, fours to wound, basically, like, him with Dark Lances or whatever, and then fours to save, right? And a lot of the invols, the Storm Shield invols. And this Dark Horse won it. And it was so inspiring for me that you could play what you wanted, and it just so happened that Winters played the army that I kind of wanted to play. Yeah. I was feeling a bit afraid of, like, min-maxing and playing, like, a Terminator-heavy list. And I just found it really inspirational as a Dark Angels player, and in particular a Deathwing player, for him to do it. And he was so sweet. When he accepted the trophy, he was so lovely and so on, because I think it was for charity as well. And it was just really inspiring to see him, like, take the trophy. And it just really profoundly affected me. And I was like, right, fuck it. I'm going to play what I want to play. I'm always going to play what you want to play. What I want to play. Yeah, yeah, I know. But it was just, it was the fact that that was almost validating for me that it was the army that I wanted to play. But it was more so him as the Dark Horse. And everybody was so sweet about him winning. And I don't even think that he could believe that he won. Like, he was just like, oh, my God. And it was a great trophy. And it was just
It was No Retreat Legends.
Check it out on YouTube. It's still up, I think. And you know, it was just so inspiring that he won it. And much love to you, Winters, because it inspired me to play what I want to play. And, yeah, love that creator.
Well, that's good, though. That's a nice story, because I think it is really, as we said a minute ago, very important to play what you want to play. And I do think a lot of people either feel pushed into cookie-cutter builds because they want to compete, or, you know, they either they just completely don't know what to do. But I think you just got to... And I think this is also... This is an interesting point competitively. When you go with a cookie-cutter build, sometimes that can be the way, right, to just get the most out of your army, et cetera, et cetera. But I personally think that you should always... build your own lists and just take them from your own playstyle perspective, because I think everyone has a different playstyle. And if you you do something wildly different to your playstyle, you're not going to do as well as the guy that built that to work with his playstyle. So I think that it's important to kind of factor that in to your decision making when it comes to list building. But yeah, that is that's nice. That's a good one. Yeah. Very nice.
I will be real with you, mate. That is the best advice that you've said on this, that either of us said on this podcast, which is like, pilot, you know, people hate that term, but pilot the army that makes sense to you. Because as soon as you start chasing that of what you think is good, you're going to probably play it like shit. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you're not as experienced with the concepts. And you can make a lot happen with what you have. And who knows? Yeah. When you rock up to that event, you just might have that one weird off-kilter list that wrecks everybody and be the Dark Horse like Winters.
I've seen it happen.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
I've seen it happen.
So. Yeah, so have I. So, you know,
very cool.
Play what you feel, bro, always.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Lovely. I think that's a good one you've raised there. Very good one. I'm just trying to think if I've got any other ones that I can come up with. But, I mean, there's been loads of stuff over the years. Like, this community, as a wider community, is enormous, right? And Even like the little things that we've been involved in personally or whatever, those are just fractions of it. And I think that one of the things that I love, and this is just a general feeling rather than a specific community event or anything like that, but one of the things I do love about this hobby is just this inclusivity. We have touched on this in previous episodes of the pod, but it's just so good. Like wherever you go, you always feel amongst friends. And I think that's the best thing for me personally about this. It's lovely. You
know? Yes.
It's good. It's gooey again, but it is just lovely.
It's the best byproduct of being in this hobby. And I've never had a community like it in any of the other things that I've done competitively gaming in my life.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. There's no two ways about it. And when you have someone that you love taking the spotlight that's done particularly well or whatever, everybody's really cool. And they're like, yeah. Like, get in you, like, fucking, like, have your moment. It's your moment time, right? And I think that's so important to let people have that. And because life's crazy. And, you know, to have that moment with friends and, you know, to have that moment with friends and be loved in your community is kind of what life's about, really. So,
yeah,
there you go.
It's a lot of fun. We wouldn't be doing this podcast if we didn't love it so much, right?
Exactly. And speaking of the way forward...
Go on.
We're taking a trip in the old time machine again.
Oh God, let me warm it back up.
Yeah, warm it up. Like do the time machine noise, Ed.
Yeah.
There we go. That's what I'm after. Yeah, I'll take it.
That's what you're having.
Improvise. I put you on the spot. I just want to make you feel awkward. This is a vast topic, but I'm going to try and condense it quite short. The future of the hobby. What's going to be the future of the hobby, Ed?
I think that we are going to continue to plow forwards edition by edition as we do, and we will see ups and we will see downs. I do think that the rule set is generally honing in a good direction, I think, generally speaking, from that perspective of things. And I'm sure that as the kits kind of go, it'll be a steady range, a cyclical range refresh, right, going forwards. We'll probably get another army or two down the line and stuff like that from a wargaming perspective. But in terms of the wider thing, obviously we discussed in a previous episode that we're looking at possibly having things like, Amazon TV shows, and we've already got loads of books and, audiobooks and stuff like that. So I think it's just going to keep getting broader and broader, if I'm honest. Like, that's my take on it. I think more and more people will get involved in this hobby. I think GW have got such a good monopoly on it in terms of its IP, that they're just going to keep growing. Unless they do something real dastardly or a real fuck up, they can't really go wrong. It's their game to lose, as it were, you know? So what about yourself?
That was beautifully put, mate. That was really elegantly put. And I will agree with all of your sentiment. I think that we are on the verges, in my opinion, of a mainstreamification of the hobby in a way that...
Which we discussed last time.
I mean, that's, in my opinion, all dependent on the popularity / quality of the Amazon TV show.
Yeah.
But I think in a similar way to what we had in the 90s, I feel like we're going to have a mainstreamification where adults will notice it. That will be massive, and normies will notice it, and it's going to be huge, right?
Because I mean,
in terms of the game, carry on.
No, I was just going to say, in terms of like the game, obviously all the people sort of our age and a few above and a few below are really into this hobby because we grew up with it. But if you think about it, GW stores across the world have been pumping their shit into like towns across the globe for the youngsters, you know, because they really want to push that future generation. So they've been doing groundwork.
That's how you hook them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Get them hooked on the old plastic crack. And I think that will, you know, they'll see dividends for that in the future. So, but yes, you carry on. Sorry.
And to be honest, no, not at all. No, and just related to that, like, you know, they didn't have to compete with the internet for young people's attention either.
No.
So, you know, like, you know, they might have to change their marketing approach to not being purely about recruiting youngsters, but also recruiting adults more so.
Yeah.
And, you know, what better way to do it than to create a very snazzy TV show that's going to market to adults, because that ain't going to be for kids. Like, you know, that show is not going to be for children. So, you know,
let's hope it's not for children.
Get a lot of adults into it. And, you know, a lot of millennial slash, you know, older people that want something to do, you know, that need a hobby and need friends. So, you know, great. Like, why not? And just to bring back to the rules in terms of where I think we're going to go for rules, I love what's happened with 10th. I still think there needs to be a lot of reforming with 10th. I think digital codexes need to come next edition or the edition after next edition. And the streamlining of concept. I think the game's going to get more and more popular and strong as time goes on. And the community is going to get quite cool. I mean, it's so easy to rag on the hobby and to rag on GW in terms of like, oh, they don't write good rules. Speaking from someone whose favourite edition was third, apart from current edition, I think they're doing a great job. Like, you know, you can complain about finicky bullshit rules all you like and stratagems. Yeah. I don't like stratagems. But you got to take ownership for your own ability to understand rule systems. And for actually think that the rule systems at the moment are pretty great. And I think they're only going to build on that. I'd like to see a Warhammer RPG, another Warhammer RPG come out. Like a rogue tradery Death Watch thing. And some more video games, some more cool video games. Space Marine 2 is on the horizon, so that should be pretty cool.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, me too, actually. Doing some PvP as a Dark Angel. Yes.
Hopefully they've got cross-platform. Like, are you going to play it on the PS... What have you got, an Xbox, PS5? What are you on? PC?
I don't currently own a next-gen console. Or a PC, so I'm going to have to sort that out. I know, so I'm going to have to sort that out.
You're a dirty Mac user as well, aren't you?
Ugh. Dirty Mac and Nintendo.
You're never going to run it on that. The Tyranid Swarms are going to look like little black dots. Like, you have to have the graphics settings on like 1%.
Hey, look, I'm a music guy. Get fucked. Like, music people love a Mac, so leave me alone. Yeah, sure.
Nice.
Whatever.
But yeah.
Whatever.
Onwards and upwards for the future, regardless of which way you cut it, hopefully.
I'm really optimistic. I just think, as you say, GW have got to refine their business practices to be a bit more ethical.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be consumer friendly is definitely the key word that I would use. Because if they don't, they're going to alienate people and it's going to go wrong very quickly.
The thing is, I get that they've got shareholders.
They have the world in their hands.
Yeah, I get that they've got shareholders that they need to keep happy. But a lot of companies do.
Yeah.
I think that for them... And this is probably quite like a general thing for them. I think they need to kind of get with the modern age a little bit in terms of their way of thinking.
Yeah.
Because they do make some proper blunders. And you just think to yourself, how do you keep making these mistakes? Like, you're a modern company, surely. You've got all these people working for you. Surely someone at one point must have raised their hand and thought, boss, that's probably a bit of a shit way of doing it. But apparently not, because these things still keep happening. So they do kind of need to work on that a little bit.
Well, I think it's what's happening with like the culture of generational reform, where, you know, a lot of the old guard business practices are starting to cycle out in both the corporate world and otherwise, where, you know, Gen Z is going to start entering the workplace properly soon. And, you know, that's going to cause massive effects where they're going to, you know, be like, actually, don't treat me like shit. I'm worth more than that. And if you can't, you know, supply your bricks and mortar store and abuse your workers like you always have been anymore, you need to refine your business practices. And you know, I just think it's just all for the good. And you don't have to make all of the money to appease your stockholders. You are making record profits every single year. Your growth is increasing. Stop trying to make all the money rather than more money.
But the ironic thing is that I feel like they would make even more money if they handled it better. It's actually a thing that makes the most sense from a business practice as well. It's just that they can't see that for some reason.
Yeah.
And I'm not running GW, and I'm clearly not like, you know, a top world businessman, but even some of this stuff to just the layman is pretty common sense. You look at it and you think, fuck me,
exactly.
Like, as a consumer of this looks shit. So just up your game a touch, like with those sort of things. So that's
the optics
on the whole. Yeah, the optics are bad. Yeah, Exactly. We said on this the other day when we were talking about the whole Custodes thing, about with them saying, oh, they've always been female, when instead of just saying, oh, actually, well, you know, because we wanted to be, you know, inclusive, we've added female Custodes to the law and, you know, just
deal. Which is totally valid.
Yeah.
Which is a totally valid way to handle exactly. it, which is like, but just handle it properly. Instead of trying to retrospectively change it, right?
Yeah.
I get that. I totally understand. So we've now set the world to right. Should we finish on a final law topic?
Yeah, go for it.
So last time we did tanks. Tanks yes. are awesome. But there's one thing awesome. Arguably even more awesome than a tank. And that's a fucking dreadnought.
Oh.
Now, for the record, I am counting all Xenos species within this dreadnought.
This okay, so things like Wraith. Knights? No, that's not a dreadnought. We'll count. Too big.
We'll count. Wraith Lords.
Wraith Lords, that's the one. Yeah.
Quickly, what are your three favourite dreadnoughts, or as many dreadnoughts as you wish to mention?
I have a real soft spot for Bjorn the Fell-Handed, because I just love
from
a lore perspective. I hope I stole one from you. Because he is just a baller, that boy. And I've played him before in a tournament and done, you know, had some really fun games with him, and he's just great. Like,
oh my God,
I love him.
You played Space
yeah,
Dogs?
Yeah, I borrowed my mate Sam's Space Wolf army a while back. God, this was like 2020 or 2021 maybe. And I went to, I think it was like Nottingham or something like that, and I played them at an event. I can't remember which. No, it's Coventry, actually. Yeah, it's Coventry GT. That's the picture of me looking real miserable that you put on the Instagram. That's the army I was playing. It was really fun. Like, Bjorn kicked ass in every game. He was brilliant. So that's my number one pick for Dreadnoughts. What about you?
I still look at a space before me on the other side, and if they have Bjorn, I'm still like, oh yeah, go on then. Get in.
Go on, you shut
like, up. Good choice. He's the best old man, and he's such an old bastard. He's like, who don't know?
And his kit still holds up as well.
It's just such a shame that the Space Wolves are assholes. Controversial. Wow. Wolfie McWolfie. Yeah. I have to hate them because I'm a Dark Angels player, so we have the superior animal symbol in our army. Yeah. So, you know, it's the way it is. But fuck you, considering my name's Russ, I find that quite ironic. Sorry, Space Wolf players, but you're just a load of furries. No. Oh, throwing it down.
Shots fired. Oh, Lord.
It's fine. Just come and play me. It's fine. Just lure you into a
clinic. Wow, that's fighting talk, that is.
I use strategy. It's fine. Yeah. So, my first dreadnought. Wow, I'm just fucking firing shots now.
Yeah, Jesus you Christ. Are, yeah.
So I have a character dread as well, because I'm not a fan of the Space Wolves per se. I have another character dread who I consider to be superior to Bjorn.
Go on.
His name is Rylanor.
Rylanor.
Rylanor is a fucking G. He's in a contempt to dreadnought Sashi, so he's 99% better than all other dreads.
Shatter.
And B, yeah, well, fuck you. And B, he humbled his own Primarch. So he was Itzvan'd, right. 3s rather than Itzvan'd 5'd. Do you know Rylanor?
I don't know Rylanor.
You don't know Rylanor? Get fucked.
I don't think I know Rylanor.
Okay, Rylanor. Rylanor is an Emperor's Children. He's an Emperor's Children dread. He was originally Itzvan'd 3's. He obviously didn't die because the virus bomb didn't get into his...
Oh, I do know Rylanor. Okay, sorry, carry on.
Thank you. He didn't get into his... I need you to say the word. Say the word.
Dreadnought armor chassis.
Thank you. So the virus bomb couldn't get inside the sashi, and basically he survived Itzvan, lived on Itzvan for centuries, getting all twisted about fucking Fulgrim being a dick. And sent out a signal to Fulgrim that he couldn't resist. Fulgrim came down on the planet and was like, surprise, motherfucker! And just wrecked Fulgrim. And Fulgrim fought him and stuff like that. And basically he tripped a bomb using some Thousand Suns around him and stuff like that. The Thousand Suns even went... He did this epic speech to Fulgrim being like, I hate what you've become. You've damned my entire legion. Like, you're a scumbag. Like, he basically, like, rips into Fulgrim about him being a twat. And self-destructs and almost kills Fulgrim. And it's
amazing.
Fucking awesome. So if you're going to go down in a blaze of glory, do a Rylanor. It's fucking awesome, mate. So Rylanor is my first choice.
Yeah. In the name of time, I'm going to just do one more, I think, because we are already over our hour. I'm going to go for a chassis this time rather than a character, because there is another character that I would choose, but I'm just going to go for the chassis because I love it. It's the Ironclad. It is a absolute classic kit, and I know that they've obviously sort of got rid of it, but it is just so cool, like... with the siege hammer stuff.
An ironclad takes no shit. You look at an ironclad and you know exactly what that motherfucker's going to do, right?
He's going to cave your head in. Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to cave your head in and smash a wall down. That's what he's going to do. That's what that fucker's going to do. Yeah, what a cool choice. I admire your cultured dreadnought choice.
Yeah, they say I'm
cultured. He's not a conventional choice.
No.
He's not a normal, what I would consider a normal choice of Dreadnought, is he? He's like an Ironclad's a bit obscure.
He's like, a legend, literally.
I like it. I like it, quite literally. Oh, rest in peace, the box
threads. Pour one out for my boy.
Sad times. Yeah, absolutely. Fucking hell. I will finish up with a Sashi as well.
Yeah.
What is the most powerful Dreadnought body, Ed?
In terms of the modern game? Oh, is it Leviathan?
In terms of ever, it is fucking Leviathan, mate.
Leviathan Dreadnoughts are just so cool.
Mate.
Banging choice.
I love a chonky boy. Chonky boys are my life.
Yeah.
I love a big, thick boy. And the Leviathan is the complete personification of thick. I love a fucking Leviathan. I love everything about it. In eighth edition, they were monsters. Absolute fucking monsters on the battlefield. Yeah. Those storm cannon arrays, blowing anything.
Or the cyclonic melter lance thing? Oh my goodness.
Yeah, which is essentially six multi-melters glued together on a fucking stick.
And they were really cool. I missed those.
Grav. Oh, dude, it's fucking... And I don't understand, GW, you're on thin ice, why you make a fucking fantastic plastic kit of them and then you fucking put them into Legends. What are you
It's just because they can't balance it. They can't. There's too much to balance. Yeah. Too many balls to juggle.
Don't you balance me with your balls. Don't you balance me with your balls. Bullshit.
It is bullshit. Oh, I agree with you.
You're a games company. Balance your stuff better. You, what have you done to my boy? You've destroyed my boy.
I'm on the table.
I just wanted to space there. I want my Leviathans back. Give me my. Look, in 30k, I run two.
Yeah.
I run them as a talent. Dreads are really good. I run two of them in a talent. They're busted in 30k, but I run two. And they all have storm cannons. And they're just there going, we are the Dreadwing, we are death. just fucking annihilating stuff.
Love it.
One day, we'll talk about the Dreadwing, because I love the Dreadwing. Chonkus. And I love that they send the person insane, because they're so big and powerful, they send their pilots insane. They were personally rumoured to be created by the Emperor himself on Terra, which is pretty cool. They were never made on Mars, they were manufactured on Terra. And they're rare as hen's teeth, and they look fucking awesome. So I love my
Baller big choice,
old
mate.
Chonky boys.
Baller choice.
Thank you. King of the Dreads. Fuck they you, are. Redemptor.
So yeah,
fucking
yeah.
Leviathan is the way forward.
For sure. Get out of here. I agree.
Now, we're rounding things up because we've already gone over the limit. But, call to action, which I need to do at the beginning. Can you remind me to do call of actions at the beginning of the podcast, please? Do or do not. There is no try, Eddie. Right, so...
I will try.
Follow us on... Follow us on YouTube, Instagram, Amazon, iTunes, Spotify. Give us some love. Send us some topics. Talk to us.
Yeah.
Winters. hit me up, boy, please. This is my chat to winners. Everyone hit me up. Give me some topics. Like, tell me what your favourite dreadnoughts are.
Yeah.
Interact with us, damn it. Acknowledge us.
Talk to us. Talk to us.
Please.
No, we would love to hear any comments you guys have got, you know, be it criticism or be it, you know, feedback or, you know, just talking, shooting the shit, telling us what your favorite dreadnought is. Just, you know, give us a comment, give us a like, give us a subscribe, because we are not going anywhere. We're going to keep doing this until we die.
We're hammering. Fucking hell.
Until we are ourselves interred in dreadnoughts.
Until death. Bring it on. Absolutely bring it on. Wow, amazing. We really are work wives. Like, till death do us part and all that jazz.
Yeah, till death do us part.
Exactly. Wow. Okay, on that somber note, laters, guys. Have a fucking
cheers,
sick
guys.
Week. I'm off to Scotland.
Yeah.
Laters.
We will
love
catch you next
bye-bye.
Week.